I want to call your attention to the Word of God this evening for a little while, and to do so I want you to turn into the chapter that we read a little earlier in the service. You may remember Matthew chapter 15. And I want to take a text from that passage that we read together, and it is the 13th verse of the chapter. So it's Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. They are the direct words of the Lord Jesus Christ in response to some words that his disciples spoke with him during this whole incident. And the words of Jesus speak like this. He answered his disciples. He answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." If you were to read the Gospels through carefully, you would find that you are given differing views of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some views that you are given of him, and you can't help but think how wonderful he was in terms of love and compassion and kindness and grace. He took little children up into his arms and he blessed them. If someone's got place for children, there's something lovely about them. Well, the Son of God had place for them, and he was perfect. How lovely of him to do that. You may remember the story of him going along the road and a widow coming, sorrowing. Her only son had been taken from her. And Jesus stopped the cortege and he gave this widow back her only son. How considerate, how compassionate, how lovely of him to do just that. You may remember the story from your Sunday school days when that leper, who no one had gone near to for years, who whenever he came near, people would ring a bell and shout unclean. Everybody stood far away. And mysteriously and wondrously, one day Jesus didn't stay away, went right up against him and he touched him. Nobody had ever done that for years. And he spoke a word to him, and the leper was cleansed and made whole. How wonderful of the Saviour to do that for a leper. But then there are times when you read of him going into the house of God, showing righteous anger and indignation. He could see that people were desecrating the house of God. They were making it a marketplace. He went in amongst them and he turned the tables over and he drove them out and said powerfully to them, "You're making the house of prayer like a marketplace." What differing views. When you come to see Jesus here, he speaks very challengingly to a group of people that were called Pharisees. They were religious, but they weren't Christian. And they were always opposing him and challenging him. And he challenged them with power and with authority. He did it righteously, but severely. And the degree of it was so severe that even the disciples could see that these Pharisees were offended. You could tell by looking at their face. And these Pharisees came to Jesus. And this is what these disciples came to Jesus and said, "Don't you know the Pharisees were offended after they heard you?" And then Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Why did he say that? What did he have in mind in saying it? What was his meaning in saying a statement like that? It almost seems strange on the surface. They were offended. Don't you know you offended them? "Every plant that my Father hasn't planted is going to be plucked up." Now, what did he have in mind? Well, now, if you look and think and listen for a moment, I want to suggest to you something of what Jesus had in mind when he spoke words like that. "Let them alone," he says. "They're only blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind," he said, "in the end," he said, "both will fall into a ditch." How firm, how sober. How severe. But it was important. And you know, sometimes it's worth listening to the rebukes of God and to the challenges of Jesus, because he's saying it for our good, and we'd be wise to listen to it and fools if we didn't. Now, what is he saying here? Think of it again. Every plant that my Father hasn't planted is going to be uprooted. It's going to be pulled up. Well, here's the first thing, evidently, that he was seeking to say in those words. He was saying this. Salvation, Jesus was saying, is entirely the work of God. If God doesn't save a man or a woman, they can never be saved. If God doesn't plant them in his kingdom, they're going to be uprooted. Now, God is one. And yet, whilst God is one in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And all three persons are involved in salvation and in the saving of sinners. It is all of God. If God doesn't do it, it's going to be uprooted. It was God the Father who planned salvation before the world ever was. So wise that he didn't need to ask anybody's advice. He knew all that needed to be known. There isn't anything that he doesn't know. We needn't feel sorry for God when we say of him, God can't learn anything. But the reason is because he knows everything. And God the Father planned a way whereby sinners might be saved. Have you thought of that, my friend? You're a sinner, as I am. Have you thought about it? God, in eternity past, drew up a plan whereby sinners might be saved. But in drawing up that plan, like every plan, a plan has got to be put into operation. When the architect draws up a plan of a bungalow for you, when the plan is complete, you can't go and live in it because you haven't got a bungalow. That plan has to be put into operation. And the plan that God drew up of salvation had to be put in operation. And God entrusted that to his own Son, Jesus Christ. And God said to him, you've got to go into the world and you've got to accomplish salvation for sinners according to my plan. And so Jesus came in the fullness of time into this world. In a matter of months now, we'll be particularly thinking about it at Christmas time. But the church ever thinks about it. And when Jesus was here upon the earth, he wanted people to know why he had come. And he said on one occasion, you know, he says, I didn't come to do what I wanted to. I came to do what God wanted me to do. And to put that plan into operation, a plan whereby sinners might be saved, it meant that Jesus had to go to die upon the cross. To bear sin in his own body there at Calvary. So that God could judge sin once and for all as his Son bore that sin on the tree. In order that forgiveness for sin might be accomplished. And in order that that which was accomplished might be preached. Jesus had to die and bleed and rise again. So that that plan that God drew up would be put into operation in physical and in literal terms in his own Son, Jesus Christ. because of that, the church has got a message to preach. That is the message that I'm stumblingly preaching to you tonight. That this salvation of sinners, it's entirely of God. Every plant that isn't planted of God is going to be rooted up. If God hasn't done it, it doesn't matter who has, it's going to be uprooted. And then God said to the Holy Spirit, you've got to go now into the world. And you've got to apply to those who hear the gospel that salvation that I planned, that Jesus Christ fulfilled. And it's the Holy Spirit's business to convince you and to convince me that we are sinners needing a Savior. Whilst you are a sinner tonight, the likelihood is that you don't feel that at all. So the likelihood is that you don't feel that you need salvation, whilst all the time you do. And however much I preach to you about it, and however much any preacher preaches to you about it, however clearly he preaches, however simply he preaches, you still won't believe that, and you still won't come to understand that, and you still won't come to experience that, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It's He that will convince you that you're a sinner. Undone, without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. When he's done that, the same Holy Spirit will bring you to repent of your sin, to leave your past way of life, to have sorrow for your past way of living. He'll lead you and he'll bring you to Jesus Christ, and he'll help you to put your trust in Jesus Christ. And as you put your trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will forgive you your sin. He'll give you life eternal. He'll make you a child of God. He'll give you the sure hope of heaven. You see, it's all of God. Every plant that my Father hasn't planted is going to be rooted up. Now you see, these Pharisees, they were religious. They were devoutly religious. But their religion was a man-made one. They made up their own rules. They made up their own way of worship. They had their own little peculiarities. But it was all man-made. And because it was man-made, it's going to be uprooted. It won't stand the test of time. It won't stand the test of the day of judgment. And you know, there are still people like the Pharisees. People who are religious, people who are respectable, people who attend church services. But their hope is in that they attend a church service, as good and as necessary as that is. And that's a futile hope. Because they're basing their hope now upon something that they are doing. They are going to a service. Jesus is saying here to these Pharisees, to you and to me, if God hasn't worked in your life, you're not a Christian. Isn't that a challenge? Every one of you tonight, think about that. If God hasn't worked in your life, you're not a Christian. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be rooted up. Did you know that, my friend? Did you know that if your life hasn't been worked upon by God, by the grace of God, you're deluded tonight if you think you're a Christian? Jesus said you're not. And I would implore you to believe Jesus before anyone else. But you know, that's not only the simple thing that Jesus is saying in these words uttered, but he's saying a second thing, and it's this, you see. This is what he is saying. Salvation means being brought to know a spiritual union with Christ. That's what salvation is. And that's what this little word, planted, means. It's used like that in the scripture. We all know tonight, don't we, that it's the gardener's word, isn't it? Back earlier in the year, you either grew plants or you purchased them, and you brought them home or you took them out of your greenhouse, and with a dibber you made a little hole in the ground, and you took the plant and you put the plant into the soil and you pressed the soil around it, and you were considered to have planted that plant. You had brought that plant into a close vital union with the soil into which it was put. And you know, isn't it wonderful? The New Testament speaks like that about true Christian experience. One man in the Bible called the Apostle Paul, that's how he described it. He wrote to Christians and he said to them like this. He said, you were planted into the likeness of Jesus Christ's death. And on another occasion, he spoke to Christians and he said words like this to them. He says, you have been rooted in Christ. Now you see, a great preacher of old, back 3 centuries ago, speaking very wonderfully, made a sentence like this. He says, there are only 2 men in this world, he said. One is Adam, and the other is Christ. And the whole of mankind are either joined to Adam or joined to Christ. Now, as we are born into this world, we are joined to Adam. We are in union with him. We are planted into him. And the sad thing about that is this, you see, that Adam turned out to be an absolute failure. Why? Because he committed sin. And that sin that Adam committed has been transmitted to you and to me. And we've got a sinful nature like he had it. And we know sinful practices like he knew sinful practices. And that's where every man and woman, boy and girl, born into this world is tonight. That's where you are, my friend. If you've not known the work of God in your heart, you're in Adam. And you're just like him. How do I know? Because I know what I like myself. And I know you are no different. You remember Adam when God came and said, why did you do that? It wasn't me. He said, it was the woman you gave me. He was blaming somebody else. Aren't you like that? Possibly you could fill a foolscap sheet tonight if you were to remember and write down all the occasions when something happened and you blamed somebody else. It wasn't me, it was her, it was him. I only did what he said. You're just like Adam, with a sinful nature, and you've got sinful practices. How do I get out of Adam? How can I sever my link with him? How can I break the bond that there is between me and Adam? I can't left to myself. I can't do it. I don't know how, I haven't got the strength. I haven't got the know-how. I haven't got the power. I haven't got the ability. I'm in him. And if somebody else doesn't help me, I've got to stay in him, because there's no way that I can get out of him. But thank God, there is someone who can take us out of Adam. And you know who it is? It's God the Father. This God who has planned this wonderful salvation. This God can lead us in repentance and faith out of Adam. And he can lead us, and he can put us in Christ. And when God puts us in Christ, we are in Christ forever. We are safe. We are blessed. How wonderful it is to be in Christ. See it now? Every plant that my Father hasn't planted is going to be uprooted. In other words, every plant that he has planted is not going to be uprooted. Do you know, this man Paul in the New Testament puts it like this of Christians. They've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, and they've been put into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. What is it? Well, again, it's the gardener's metaphor, whereby you put little seedlings into a tray and put them in your greenhouse and you bring them on. And when there's four leaves to be seen on them, you take them out of that and you put them into little three and a half inch pots. And when you bring them on from there, what do? You take them now and you put them in the border or in the garden or in the allotment, in the very place that you want them to be. You've transplanted them. You've taken them out of the pots and you put them into the garden. This man Paul is saying, that's what God does. When he saves a sinner, he takes them out of the kingdom of darkness. He takes them out of Adam. That's the garden that they're in. The garden of Adam's life. The garden of the kingdom of darkness. And he lifts them up and he takes them. And he puts them, if we might reverently put it, into the garden of Christ and his life and his perfection. He puts them into the garden of God's kingdom. That's what it means to become a Christian. Every plant which my Heavenly Father hasn't planted, that's going to be uprooted. There's no doubt about that. My friend, can I ask you tonight to think about your soul, to think about eternity, to think about your need as a sinner? I would suggest to you that's the second thing that Jesus is saying here in this wonderful saying of his. But then there's a third and a final thing, I believe, that we must look at when we look at this saying of Jesus. Listen to it again. Every plant which my Heavenly Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up. What he's saying is this: there's a day coming, they're going to be rooted up. And this is the lesson. You see, salvation is against the day of judgment. Think of it, the gardener's metaphor. Having not long come back from holidays, it was fine yesterday morning, so quite early, I got up and I got the mower out and I mowed the front lawn and I got the strimmer out and I strimmed the edges of it, thinking it might come to rain, and it was looking untidy and I wanted to put it right. And as I was strimming the edges of it, I could see some Nemesia plants there that I put in earlier this year. When I put them in as little plants, they were lovely and green. And through the summer months, they bloomed, and they were lovely and colourful. And some dwarf, small marigolds, and some very, almost like shirt button chrysanthemums. And they were so pretty and so nice and so lovely. As I was trimming the lawn yesterday, I could begin to see the nemesias shrinking, shriveling. I could see the other plants wilting and beginning to die at the edges. I didn't uproot them yesterday, but I thought to myself, well, it won't be long now when I'll be going along with the hoe and I'll be uprooting those plants they're dead, uprooting them, putting them in the bin or putting them on a compost heap. If I was keen enough, burning them to make potash, I'm not. But the uprooting of them. They had their day. There was a day when they were beautiful. Some of them gave off a lovely aroma. They were nice to look at. They're not so nice to look at now. Shall I put it like this? Their day of judgment is coming within the next week. If God gives me strength, I'll be going around and be taking them up and I'll be putting them in the bin. A time of uprooting. Jesus is saying, there's a day like that coming for this world. Oh, people don't believe it. Some of the wiseacres in this world scorn at it. They laugh at it. Oh, the day of judgment. Preachers have always said that. It's coming, my friend. Make no mistake about it. The day of reckoning is at hand. A day when we will have to come up before Christ. A day when we're going to have to answer as to what we did with his son when we heard him preached to us. We're going to have to answer what we did when we heard the call of the gospel to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A day when we heard pleadings in the preaching of the gospel to trust in Christ while it's still day for your soul. We paid no attention. We gave no heed. We wrote it off as being the strange views, perhaps of an extreme crank. But you notice what Jesus said? On that day, everyone who has not been dealt with by God and by his grace, been planted in the kingdom of God by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, going to be uprooted. Day of reckoning. Day of judgment. Those whom the Father has planted, oh, it will be well with them. They'll be gathered into the haven of God's rest, to be with him and to be with Christ forever, to look upon the Saviour and to bless him for his mercy and his grace and his love in saving you. But for those that were never saved, they're going to be uprooted and cast into hell forever. Isn't that awesome? To think about where the worm doesn't die, where the fire is not quenched, where torment will be the lot of those that go there forever. No mercy, no grace in hell. How about you, my friend? God should call you or call me to himself very quickly. How will it be with you? Think of these words of Jesus. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be pulled up and cast into outer darkness. Oh, will you suffer me to plead with you, to think about your soul? This isn't the only life there is. Life doesn't end when life ends in this world. There is eternity to be faced. There is a God to be met. There is a day of judgment to come. Come to the Saviour tonight, while there's time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Plead with Christ to have mercy upon you this evening. Make this Jesus your Saviour tonight. And whenever that day will come, you'll have naught to fear, nor to be anxious about, because God will gather you home to be with him in heaven forever. That will be joy. That will be bliss. And that forevermore. Don't you know the Pharisees? They were offended at what you said to them. Jesus answered, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind." Think, my friends, about this gospel tonight for the good of your soul and for the glory of God, for his name's sake. Amen.